basic decisions to a producer has to make. What crops to plant and how many acres. As cotton acres have fluctuated over the past few years, it is important to identify factors that influence the number of acres in each region. Our next panel will come forward, and as they're coming forward, they consist of three producers who will share their thoughts on what goes on into these planning decisions on their operations and in their general production area. I will introduce them all and then ask them to proceed in the order of their introduction. Our first panelist is Larry McClendon. Larry is the immediate past chairman of the National Cotton Council and farms cotton, corn, and soybeans in Marianna, Arkansas. Following Larry is Jimmy Webb, who farms cotton, peanuts, and corn in Leary, Georgia. Our third panelist is Bob Balker, a cotton, soybean, and corn producer from Somerville, Tennessee. Larry, let's begin with you.
Well, good morning. I wanted to make some comments. Most of these are pretty specific to my farm and my area, in particular the Mid-South region. I farm in East Central Arkansas, about an hour outside of Memphis, in the Mississippi alluvial plain. I have a lot of high variability in soil types, from sand to mix to heavy clay soils. My farm is about 60% irrigated, mostly with pivots. Some of my major concerns that I have are drainage would be the number one. 30-35% of my farm is subject to flooding. And incidentally, in Arkansas, in East and South Arkansas this year, we've experienced from 80 to over 100 inches of rain, which is unprecedented even for us. Soil variability is also a big concern of ours because it's the frequency of how it changes through the fields. Sometimes every 1 to 200 yards, I'm dealing with a different soil type. And then we do have some issues with extreme slopes in places. So as I look at my overall farm, one reason that I have planted cotton, and cotton consists of 40 to 50% of my farming operation, has been simply risk management. In a sport analogy, I farm defensively, and cotton has given me a great defense against a lot of the variability that's on my farm. Another thing, I have not been satisfied with crop insurance. We typically operate on a 5 to 10% margin on our crop income, and even with a 75 or 80% coverage from crop insurance, we're still losing serious money at that point out there. I've also, over the years, figured out that there's no one crop that's bulletproof out here. I wish I could plant something and said every year that it's going to do well and it'll weather this, but we've seen, particularly in the Mid-South the last 2 or 3 years, that all crops are vulnerable, particularly at harvest time. But in Arkansas, I look at state averages and look at my farm, and the most consistent crop that I grow is rice. This is, as far as from a yield standpoint, I have very few acres I can grow rice on, though, maybe 10% or less. But the second most consistent crop from yields would be cotton, and then followed by soybeans, and then my corn. And then when I say consistency, normally when we plant a farm in the spring, we'll plant the whole farm in one crop. And I don't checkerboard too much around and plant my best fields in this and my best fields in that. So when I talk about consistent yields, I'm talking about farm-wide yields on a lot of acres, regardless of the number of acres, regardless of the consequences of weather. I'd like to know at the end of the year that on this larger scale situation, which going to be my best yielding crop. And again, cotton on a large acres has been the most consistent for me. In Arkansas, prior to 2009, if we take the most recent 5 years, we've had a statewide average yield of 1,051 pounds of cotton. The lowest yield during that 5 year period has been 1,012 pounds. So you can see that cotton is a very consistent crop in Arkansas here. Incidentally, on soybeans, it's 38 bushels. On corn, the most recent 5 year average is 148 bushels. So I look for this consistency as I approach. My number one goal is to have a defensive strategy that gives me a consistent yield year after year. A second reason is rotation. Again, I've mentioned 40 to 50% of my farm is in cotton. I like the agronomic aspects of this. We get yield enhancement on all crops by rotation. We also get to rotate our chemistries on herbicides and insecticides, and we too are blessed with Palmer pigweed today, so it's a big problem. We do use the same equipment on the corn, the soybeans, and the cotton as far as tractors, planting, spraying equipment. Of course, differences in harvest there. And we're able to spread out our labor and machinery over a lot more acres and a lot more calendar than we would otherwise. But the other point on cotton that I really like, and I've mentioned a defensive strategy, but cotton allows me to go on offense. And again, I mentioned that I'm not real impressed when I hear someone says, well, we made 2.5 bales of cotton, or we made 200 bushels of corn or 60 bushels of beans. I'd like to know, not on a specific field, but I want to know at the end of the year over my whole farm what that yield is. And again, cotton on large acres has given me that consistency. But then it opens a window up for profits in a lot of years. At present prices, a state average of Arkansas, 1,051 pounds, $788 gross income. State average of corn today at current prices is $592. We're $200 per acre better off today to grow cotton in Arkansas than we are corn. What's really remarkable, I think, is that if I'm fortunate enough to have a 10% yield increase, then my income on cotton goes to $867 and on corn at $648. So what happens then is as yields move up on cotton, beans, or corn, the disparity presently between cotton and grains gets wider and wider in favor of the cotton. So I have farmed defensively for the past few years, but we really are going to have an opportunity to be offensive in our cotton farm. So this year, I just want you to know I'm not going for a base hit. I'm going for the home run. And I think that with yields that are presently available out there, and yields are moving up dramatically in the Mid-South. All this data has been skewed because we've had horrible harvest weather the last 2 or 3 years. But if we get normal fall in here, I think that we've got a great opportunity for cotton this year in 2010. Jimmy?
Larry, it's tough to follow a former chairman. Y'all are well-organized and well-trained on presentations. It's nice to be here in New Orleans. I wish they would have fixed the weather for us before we came, because it is kind of cold to be in New Orleans. I'm a cotton, corn, peanut farmer from Leary, Georgia. My current mix is roughly a third apiece, 900 acres of each crop. But in my area, peanuts are what I'm a peanut farmer. I grow cotton and I grow corn, but peanuts are the number one priority in my area. And that's a big big part of the decision on what we're gonna plant. You have to rotate peanuts. Every 3 years in my fields is gonna be peanuts, and you have to rotate them. We can't rotate them with soybeans. A peanut is a legume and a soybean is a legume. You're just creating a bad problem that will eventually catch your yields, and your yields will go down. But the decision after that is whether we plant corn or cotton. About 5 years ago, I had gotten to where I was down to only 150 acres of corn, and that's a lot of cotton to harvest with two pickers. The problem is peanut is a perishable product. You know, a lot of buyers, cotton buyers, would fuss at us from Georgia because we would leave the cotton in the field to get the peanuts. Well, they didn't know anything about peanuts. We have got to get the peanuts. So I had really stretched my labor and my equipment trying to harvest that much cotton at one time. So really, when the grain prices got up, that helped me. You know, I liked the grain prices coming up. Yeah, 2 years of cotton and then peanuts, I was starting to see some reniform nematode problems. So I needed to get corn back in the mix. I never quit planting corn because there were certain fields that the nematode problem was bad enough. I had to throw corn in the mix every third year. I had no choice. Sometimes I'd do 2 years of corn instead of any cotton at all because of nematode problems. I'm all irrigated with center pivots. I'm fortunate that my family got in it early, and everything we grow is irrigated. In my part of Southwest Georgia, if you don't have an irrigation system, it's going to be tough to make a crop. Rainfall leaches pretty quick. We can get a 2-inch rain, and in 2 days you need to turn the water back on. The moisture just doesn't stay there. There were a lot of producers that jumped on the grain bandwagon and tried to plant dryland corn. About 1 out of 10 years you can make a dryland corn crop. You know, there are too many variables, and the corn was, especially the way the fertilizer price went up, that hurt a lot of people. The other problem in our area is there's not much corn infrastructure on the farm. And everybody had a buddy at a grain buying point that was, I'll take care of you. Well, they had problems trying to harvest. So that put a lot of producers back into cotton. Georgia, in 1995, we went up to 1 million acres. We've gone under 1 million acres one time. That was 2 years ago. Last year, we came back up to 1 million acres. I'd venture to say that, you know, we won't go below 1 million again, but I can't see us being at 1.5 million at our high point. As you heard Stanley Culpepper talk yesterday about pigweeds, thank goodness I'm not in one of those five counties that are the hot spots in Georgia, but I do have some areas. 2 years ago, I found 3 pivots that had pigweeds in them. I found hot spots, I called them, about as big as this platform. And I physically went and pulled them. I didn't want to have that problem. But it let me know the next year I needed to do something different. Well, 2 of those circles, I went to corn. Another circle, I planted a Fibermax cotton where I could spray Ignite on it just because I didn't want to have a big problem like we'd been seeing in Georgia. So that's been a big influence on a lot of us in Georgia, what we're going to plant. How bad you are with pigweed, you hate to say it, but what kind of job are your neighbors doing because it spreads so easy? There is a... There's another part, Larry. When we got an investment in a cotton gin, we got to plant some cotton.
That's right.
A lot of y'all I know are in the same boat as Larry and I. You know, somehow or another, we got an investment in a gin. A lot of us were, we got to the bare bones of the cost. We still needed cotton to run through that gin. This is going to help us. My acreage of cotton will go up just a little. Not a whole lot, because I like spreading my labor out. I do have infrastructure for my grain. It's extremely nice to not be so pushed at one time of year like I was 5 years ago with the cotton. If I had been in that position this past year with the kind of rainfall we've had, I venture to say I'd still be trying to harvest cotton. Another thing is you don't have so much invested in one crop. I do like growing cotton. I like growing corn, but I really like growing peanuts. My gross last year on peanuts is about $1,200 an acre. That's a pretty easy decision.
Yeah.
We're gonna plant the peanuts, but you're limited because of your rotation problem. That's my number one thing. And commodity prices and then the pigweeds. Anyway, thank you.
Well, unlike the other two, we are primarily
dry land hill farmers in West Tennessee. 90% of our acres are dry land, and cotton has been what has gotten us to where we are today. We will continue to plant cotton in the coming years, but just as these other men have said, consistent yields. It is what has kept us in the business, and we will go forth in the coming years, but we're going to rotate as the weed resistance problems have come along. We have to rotate in West Tennessee. Cotton is a big influence in what we do. But we're going to try to grow cotton on our ground no more than 2 years in a row. Corn and soybeans will take those other years, and it works really well for us. We keep hearing it from Chris Main and Stanley Culpepper. So far we hadn't had the Palmer Amaranth stuff on our farms itself. We've got all the mare's tail that anybody ever needs. So anybody who's missing any, we've got it in West Tennessee. We've been aware of it for years, and it is a big problem. I think we've all got to be smart about how we are farming with it. Cotton is just going to continue to play our role with it. Here in West Tennessee, on dry land stuff, we can go from great soybean yields, 50, 60 bushel, to really bad soybean yields of about 3 bushels, all in a year. So it all just depends on what Mother Nature brings for us in a year. So we don't have the luxury that Jimmy's got of 100% irrigation, or we're not on the flatlands. We give Larry some fertilizer every now and then because it washes over there to him. So we have to really watch out what we're doing in the hills. And then the cotton has continued to be a good job for us in our nitrogen usage. We can rotate with soybeans and we get additional nitrogen. We're able to drop our total fertilizer usage and still bump our yields up by rotating. I think that's going to be what we're going to stay in business doing. For all of us there in West Tennessee, that's the way we're going to have to do it. I think that there's a lot of you out there who are really good at it. I'm trying to learn. I'm still just a young guy out there trying to learn it. But I do appreciate the opportunity to do so. Well, thank you.
Thank you, panelists. That was very informative, and we have a little time. Do y'all have any questions for one another?
I wanted to ask Jimmy about his pigweed problem. You know, Georgia is famous for pigweeds, and what are you doing about it? So,
well, Georgia got pretty big in the strip till, planting a cover crop, and we think this is what happened when people planted a cover crop. They quit using the yellow herbicides. I never quit using a yellow herbicide, and I was a late bloomer. I just started strip tilling about 2 years ago, but I never quit using a yellow herbicide, and that we think that's a big impact on why it exploded like it did. There are a lot of areas they just completely went away from it, and it was just Roundup. I don't do that. I still put out a yellow herbicide when I plant, and I still spray Staple in a band behind the planters. This past year, we went to we sprayed Solid Reflex everywhere. I'd rather be on the preventative end. I went to using Sequence probably 5 years ago. I just wanted the other mode of action with the dual in it. In the Roundup, and we use Roundup one time. When we lay by, we go back to the old MSMA.
Yeah.
That's what I've done on my farm, and it so far so good. But those three hot spots, you know, if it blows and transfers by pollen, you better hope you got some good neighbors, I guess.
Any other questions?
Well, we sure appreciate y'all's insight on this, and I think it was a very informative presentations, and I think you've talked a lot of people into growing just a little more cotton, maybe.